So welcome to Every Nation Church Penang, where we exist to honor God and make disciples. So we are now in our second week of topic, okay, Reimagine Church. So as an art teacher, I always encourage my students to reimagine. So reimagine is to have a new idea about the way something should be. As I always give, whenever I teach, I always give the concept first to my students. And one of my lessons there is this one, Mona Lisa. Okay? So imagine a year 4 to 6 student doing a Mona Lisa. Impossible. But I would always ask them, reimagine it. How would you interpret Mona Lisa in your own way? I will not show you my students' work, but here are some examples that if you reimagine Mona Lisa, can be like this. Very colorful, very modern. Or you can, if you love Disney, you're going to love Mona Lisa like this, like Belle from Beauty and the Beast. But if you love Mr. Bean, you could reimagine Mona Lisa like this. It, when you reimagine, it promotes creativity. And in our church, this is our church. I want you to reimagine our church. How will our church look like if we are God's children, are functioning properly? If you are doing brotherly love, if you are doing, you're a good co-worker, and you are a good soldier of Christ, reimagine how our church will look like. Maybe 5 years from now, we don't need this church anymore. Why? We have our own building. Praise the Lord, right? That's a vision. That's reimagining with faith. We may have our own building 5 years from now. Our own building. And its name is Every Nation Church, Penang. When you imagine with faith. And today, what God is telling, last week, Pastor preached to us about Epaphroditus, about being a brother and how you share love. This week, the topic is about being a co-worker, how you share load. Now, we are focusing on the story of Epaphroditus, okay, in Philippians 2, 25 to 30 and 4 to 18. These are the passages where you see the name of Epaphroditus being mentioned. Now, let's all stand up as we read, as we give reverence to the Word of God. Philippians 2, 25 to 28. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier. But your messenger are the one who ministered to my need. Since he was longing for you all, he was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you will may rejoice and I may be less sorrowful. Let's all pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, that you have gathered us again in this place, O Lord God, to worship you, to fellowship with you, and to hear your words. I pray, O Lord God, please bless our hearts, O Lord God, that we may understand and keep your words in our hearts.
that we may apply them in our daily lives. O Lord, I pray, anoint my lips, O Lord God, as I preach to your people today. Help me, Lord, interpret your words to the exactness of the message you want me to deliver. We commit to you, Lord, this time. We commit to you, Lord, this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all sit. Now, church, there are three questions that we're going to be answering today. Number one, why was Epaphroditus praised by Paul? Second question is, what are the characteristics of Epaphroditus and Timothy as fellow workers of Paul in the ministry? And the third question is, how do you want to see yourself as a worker for Jesus Christ? Those are the three things that we're going to be answering today. So the first question is, why was Epaphroditus praised by Paul? Knowing that, you have to read the whole book of Philippians. So I encourage you, if you haven't read the book of Philippians, one chapter a day will be awesome for you to do it as your devotion. I did that as my devotion as well. I finished the whole Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, one chapter a day. It took me 2 years. But it was amazing because you are reading the Word of God slowly at your own pace. At the end, you still finish the whole book. Rather than force yourself, oh, I'm going to read 5 chapters a day. At the end, you didn't understand anything at all. So that's just like eating, small bits, and you can really enjoy the beauty of God's Word. So, in Philippians, you will see that Paul is the author. Okay, it is a pastoral letter to the Christians in Philippi. And Paul wrote it while in prison, probably in Rome around AD 62. Now, what is the purpose of Paul writing it? Is number one is to tell them that Epaphroditus has recovered from a serious illness. If you will look at the verses, he almost died and he recovered. Second one is to encourage them in their faith and to assure them that he was still in good spirits because he was in prison, and then to thank them for their continued support. So they were still continuing supporting Paul even though he was still in prison. I highlighted there to encourage them in their faith. Knowing that this is a pastoral letter to the Christians in Philippi, you will see that if you love, okay, listening to sermons, preachers often give examples for them, for the audience, for the congregation to understand what he is preaching. And if you will read closely the book of Philippians, there are a lot of points there. And to highlight those points, when the time that he mentioned Timothy and Epaphroditus, they were the examples of Paul. For you to understand what is happening in Philippians 1 and 2, by the time that you reach the name of Timothy and Epaphroditus, Paul is setting an example already. And that's why he used Epaphroditus and Timothy to encourage them in their faith. Now, what are the characteristics of Epaphroditus and Timothy as fellow workers of Paul in the ministry? Who among you here is working? Raise your hands. Okay. So, we are all in different industries. We have different work, okay? And sometimes you will have like co-workers that are annoying. You have coworkers that are funny. Okay? Do you have coworkers that are too serious? And sometimes there you have coworkers that just want to be silent and work from 8 to 5 and then go home already. Right? Now, point one is practice servanthood. You will see here in Philippians 2, 3, 4, let nothing be done to selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each one of you look out not only for his own interest, but for the interest of others. Being a servant, when you have a servant, they are the ones always, they're cooking food for you, they're cleaning the house, they're doing the things that you don't want to do, like plumbing, stuff like that. Okay? Maybe sometimes picking up dead lizards or dead mice, they will do that for you. Why? Because they are servants. They are called to do that. Now, church, you will see here as well in Philippians 2, 5 and 7 that but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. Jesus is the one being pertained here. Bible says, be imitators of Christ. Who among you here is a Christian? Raise your hand. Be confident if you're a Christian. Okay? When you're a Christian, the word Christ is there. Correct? Therefore, if you are a Christian, you need to be a servant. Shame on you if you call yourself a Christian and you are a bench warmer. You are not called. We are not called to be Christians alone. Why? Because if Christ is in you and you imitate Christ, therefore you are a servant. You have to use your lives in a way that honors God. You have to use your life in such a way that Christ will be seen in your life. You have to use your life in such a way that you will preach the gospel to others. So if you are a bench warmer until now and you're 10 years Christian, time to wake up. Because Christ is a bondservant. Christ is a servant. Therefore, we need to practice how to be a servant. And that is what Epaphroditus and Timothy are doing. Paul sees in them that they are practicing servanthood. And we as Christians, we need to practice servanthood. Number two, practice obedience. In Philippians 2, 12 and 14 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now more in my absence, work out on your salvation with fear and trembling. One of the things that you need to see here, that obedience is what? Consistent. You cannot obey just like when, okay, I am in good mood, I will obey. I am in bad mood, I will not obey. Cannot do that. You have to obey always, consistently. Imagine also, sometimes, right, we have the tendency in our workplaces that when the boss is not around, you're gonna slack off. I know who you are. But God is telling us, even though your boss is not around, you have to give your best. Because you are a Christian. So you have to obey always. And not just obedience, you need to be obedient completely, 100%. Imagine you have a maid, and you ask that maid to clean the whole house. And that maid just cleaned the bathroom. Is that obedience? No. If you ask your son or daughter to wash the dishes and then he just washed the dishes until like 7 pieces of them and then there's still a lot more, then it's not obedience at all. Your obedience, church, must also be complete. So, consistent, complete. And then, doing all things without complaining and disputing. Imagine that. Epaphroditus and Timothy are not complaining and not disputing. How many of us are complainers? A little overtime, you complain. A little extra work, you complain. Church, God wants you to be fully obedient. That's why we need to practice obedience. Number 3, practice perfection. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 says that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Holding fast that the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Become blameless. Imagine that without fault. That is what God is looking for us as children. Faultless, blameless. Sometimes, church, you will be ridiculed. Correct? Sometimes in your workplace, sometimes in the church, people will ridicule you. Why? Because they will say to you, you are perfect. Right? And when people say you are perfect, what happens? Like that we don't want to associate with you because you are perfect. What happens to you? You get what? Discouraged, right? Church, if you hear those things, praise the Lord. Why? People are seeing God's perfection. Rather than be discouraged, praise the Lord. Why? Finally, people are seeing that I am being changed by the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because they are starting to see Christ in your lives. So when people starting to ridicule you, bring it on. Make it as your fuel to be perfect in the sight of God and in the sight of men. And you will give praise to the Lord. So never give up. Now, church, how do you want to see yourself as a worker for Christ? Do you want to be what? Lazy? Do you want to see yourself imperfect? Do you want to see yourself disobedient? Come on, reflect now. How do you want to see yourselves? Now, there are two things. There are things here that I want you to see. The first picture here is a man carrying a big stone. I have seen things in my life, what happened. My dad is a pastor in some churches where my dad was assigned to. Some churches, sad to say, treated my dad like this. A pastor is not someone who carries the burden of the whole church. A pastor is not someone that is like an employee who carries the whole church. Imagine that big rock is the church. It breaks my heart every time I see people treated my dad this way. And I pray, please do not treat your pastors here in Penang that way. They are called by God to shepherd us. God put them here so that they could shepherd us, to lead us, to encourage us, to guide us. And please do not treat your pastors like this. There's a verse in the Bible, touch not the Lord's anointed. So you treat your pastors with love, with respect. You encourage them, you pray for your pastors. And carry the load with him. This picture you will see here, four people, maybe one of them is the pastor, and three of them are leaders. My dad also went in those scenarios as well. Church, our church is expanding. We have very few workers. Cannot be like this. A few people working for the Lord. Then you have to go to Georgetown, you have to go to BM, you have to go to Al-Sitar with the same people. Hello? Cannot be like that. We're expanding and yet the workers are few. Church, imagine if the whole church is like this. Imagine this big Nipahat is your church. And every one of us are there working together. No bench warmer, I'm telling you. Will the load be difficult? I think so not. When the whole church moves forward to the direction where Christ wants you to be in. Church, in 5 years, I'm telling you, we're going to have a building. 5 years, going to have a building. Maybe this one will be what? Training center. This is the training center for every Nation Church Penang, where leaders are trained, where workers are trained, where pastors are trained. This will be a center now. We don't know. But you have to reimagine, and you have to have that conviction in your heart that you as a Christian will not just be a Christian, but a servant of God. That is what God wants us to see. And that is what Paul saw in Timothy and Epaphroditus. Now, church, I want you to reflect on these two things. God wants to commend you while you are on earth like Epaphroditus. God wants to commend you also in heaven. Both of those commendations, God wants to see in you today. Not tomorrow, today. Church, in Matthew 25:21, and I will be ending on this one. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into my joy on your Lord." You will see there, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It's not there, "Well done, good and faithful Christian." You are a Christian. We are Christians. When the name of Christ is in you, you have to follow His ways, and that is being a servant. Now is the time for you to wake up from your slumber. You are not a bench warmer. You are not a Sunday Christian. But God wants to use you today for His glory, for His honor, and for His praise. Church, God wants to commend you today while on earth, and God wants to commend you when you're in heaven. So the decision is yours. When will you start serving the Lord? So, if you are interested, please scan the QR code. Time for you to volunteer. Small or big things, it is all welcome here in this church. And one day, I'm telling you, a building for every Nation Church Penang. So let's pray. Let's all stand up and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day that you have given us. Thank you, Lord God, for the lives of Timothy and Epaphroditus, O Lord God, that Paul used them as an example, O Lord God, for the Christians in Philippi. Lord, what we learned today, help us, Lord, to practice being a servant. Help us, Lord, to practice being obedient. Help us, Lord, to practice perfection, O Lord God. Knowing, Lord, that there is a commendation waiting for us here on earth, but also in heaven. I pray, O Lord God, steer our hearts, O Lord. Steer up the hearts of this congregation, O Lord God. That each one of us, O Lord God, will not just be bench warmers. That each one of us, O Lord God, will not just be a Sunday Christian, but an everyday Christian serving you, O Lord God. I pray, O Lord God, let your Holy Spirit steer us up, O Lord God, to serve you, Lord, knowing that the day is short, Lord God, and you are coming back again, O Lord. I pray, O Lord, that Just steer our hearts, O Lord God, so that we could serve you, Lord, with all gladness. Because you are our Lord, you are our King. And we will serve you alone. We commit to you, Lord, our lives. We commit to you, Lord, our week, O Lord. Fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, and I pray that your guidance be upon each and every one of us. Bless us, O Lord, exceedingly, abundantly, and overflowingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.